This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
In the timeline of meaningful, by which I mean successful social media companies, first there was Facebook, then Twitter, and then three or so years ago, something called Foursquare. It's an app for your smartphone that you use to check in someplace and let other users know where you are, be it a coffee shop or a cool new restaurant. Foursquare went pretty quickly from startup to actual business. It's got more than 20 million users right now, but it's also got a problem because some of the buzz has worn off. It went from hot new thing to just thing. So the company launched a new and improved version this month that, besides all the location sharing stuff, also makes recommendations for where to go and what to do. Today, then, another conversation from the corner office, this one with Foursquare co-founder and CEO Dennis Crowley. Dennis, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having us.
I wanted to start with the revamp, the overhaul that you guys rolled out a couple of weeks ago. You had an amazing 2009, 2010 was great. And then things kind of got slow, right?
I wouldn't say it got slow. I mean, the growth has been great for us. Every Friday is bigger than the Friday before. And
so why the new paradigm then? Maybe that's a better question.
When we built the app, we built it in 2009. And then, you start hiring people, you got 10, you got 20 people, and we're still building on top of that same thing that we built in 2009. And after a while, the app starts to get a little bit crowded. And, it came to the point where it's like, listen, there's so many things that we want to do. We're going to have to start simplifying and taking this apart and then figuring out what is the best way to put them back together so it tells the story of Foursquare in 2012.
How do you make money, though, man? You got to turn a profit.
People ask us all the time, and the story is getting a lot easier to tell as people start to see the things that we're doing within the app. What we're finding is, as good as we are at helping people connect to places, we're also starting to be really good at helping places connect to people. So, hey, you just opened this type of restaurant in this particular area. Well, here's some folks that you might want to reach out to because there's a good chance that they could be really valuable customers for you someday.
So it seems to me there's an origins question here, right?
Yep.
What was the insight, man? Were you sitting in your dorm room one day at Syracuse and you said, you know what? I want to do this thing on a phone where people tell me where they are.
It started off probably in early 2000 when I worked at a .com company. And a lot of my friends, we lost our jobs. The whole internet space kind of went away in 2000, 2001. And I found that when I wasn't going to work, I generally wasn't going out after work. And I certainly wasn't going out to work with my coworkers because they were no longer my coworkers.
You didn't have any, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, the original idea for a lot of this stuff just came from, hey, why don't we're all out doing our own individual things. We should build a piece of software that lets you know where anyone is at any given time. So if you want to, you can go meet up with them. And then as we started, continuing to play with these ideas, we started to realize hey, when people give us a little bit of information every day about the places that they go to, where they get sandwiches, where they get coffee, where they go for fancy dinners, where they go for brunch, we can use all those data points to really make these amazing recommendation engines that people can use even without checking in.
You guys went to South by Southwest in 2009, and that's where you really exploded. That's where people said, whoa, what is this thing? And I want to check it out. And you got really the big boost, and which is a great phenomenon, and then that's all fun. But what I want to know is, what's it like to be the new thing? What happens when that happens?
I don't know. I think it's really easy to get caught up in people being really excited about what you're doing. But at the end of the day, you really have to pay attention to the way that people are interacting with the product. Even though the numbers are going up, are people sticking around? Are people staying with the product for a while? In 2009, we just didn't have the energy to really, not even energy, but we didn't have the time or the resources to really pay attention to a lot of that stuff. And now that the company's matured, now that we're, about 120 people, we have people specifically tasked to looking at the metrics and tweaking all the different things that we're doing in the product.
A couple of years ago, when Yahoo and Facebook and maybe some others, I don't know, those are the ones we know about, made overtures to come and buy you guys out. You said, no, we can do it alone. Any second thoughts?
No, I mean, whenever you do a fundraising process, especially at a company that has a lot of attention like ours, there's always people that are interested in hey, should you be a part of this larger company? And so far, we've been doing a pretty good job. We've actually been doing a great job. And, you know, like you have sometimes like in the early days, you have these moments like, wow, can we like will we be able to, you know, to grow this to be a big, important standalone Internet company? And as we're moving forward and as we're seeing what we're doing here, like, yeah, there's a lot of us that feel like, hey, we have a really good chance at being one of those companies.
It's worth pointing out, though, that you have experience being bought and then it not working out, right? You founded a company called Dodgeball, another location social media company, bought by Google, and it turned out not to be a great fit.
Yeah, that's right. My grad school thesis project was picked up by Google in 2005, and we spent about 2 years there. You know, it's been interesting to reflect back on that experience, you know, seeing all the drama that goes through and trying to build a company as large as ours. And it gives you a little bit of appreciation for, like, how Google was able to grow at that scale, you know, some of the issues that they were probably dealing with at the time. You know, but at the same time, we look at that experience and, you know, do we sell Dodgeball a little bit too early? Maybe, maybe not. But, like, it's something that allows us to think about how to look at these opportunities as we go forward.
It sounds a little bit like this is becoming a more real business, which leads to the next question, which is you are clearly a design guy, a data guy, a tinkerer kind of person who likes to get in there and mess around with stuff. What do you know about running a real business?
Yeah, well, we're starting to learn a lot about it. I mean, that's, like, that's the real fun part of the job. So it's been a really interesting journey for us. Like we were plugging away at this for about 9 months before we raised our first round of financing. And then, I think we've been really fortunate at hiring great people along the way and, you know, picking up great investors along the way. So they've been helping us really learn how to do this on the fly.
Yeah. Do you ever talk to guys like Biz Stone who helped start Twitter and of course, Zuckerberg at Facebook? Do you ever talk to them and say, so what'd you learn that I might learn from?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
do you really?
You know,
I was kind of kidding.
No, really? I haven't talked to Biz in a while. There's not a ton of people, you know, that have gone through this before. And so there's a lot of us that lean on each other to figure out, like, how do you get through certain problems? And different companies are at different scales. But you look at the companies that are, you know, around our size, around our scale, and, you know, like, we get together in New York pretty regularly. We get together in San Francisco pretty regularly. And there's a nice little support group of people that are all trying to figure this out, you know, together.
There's a flip side to that question, right? You are, what, 36, 37, something like that?
36.
36, okay. Without trying to crush your youthful dreams, I mean, you are, to a 21, 22-year-old kid, you're like some old guy, right?
Yeah,
what kind of advice do you give to the young people starting up who say, I want to do what you're doing?
You know, I didn't really start building my own stuff until I was like 24 or 25 or so. And even then, you know, I just ran into a lot of resistance from, like, older folks, you know, like my bosses at other companies or people in the industry that are like, oh, that's an interesting idea, but it'll never work, right? Mm. And I know I kind of believed everything that they told me. And it wasn't until we started building, you know, really building our own stuff just because we wanted to. And then, you know, we wanted to build it. We wanted to prove to ourselves that it wouldn't work, or we had a strong enough hunch that the stuff we were really passionate about was interesting and we probably could make it work. And once we started doing that, we realized, hey, some of our ideas are pretty good. And so that's the advice I always pass on to other folks. It's like, don't listen to people that don't think that your ideas are very interesting. You know, you should go out there and prove that to yourself.
Dennis Crowley. He's a co-founder and CEO of Foursquare. Dennis, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.